Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow we announce the passing away of Mr. Case Alleman on Friday, October 19th, at the age of 72 years. Let us sing, therefore, Psalter number 107, stanzas 1 through 4. My end, Lord, make me know. My days, how soon they fail. And to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 107, stanzas 1 through 4. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 43. Mark 5, verses 22 through 43. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 5, beginning with verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, and there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in this morning the mourning family, and also Willina van Driesten, who is still in the hospital and whose condition remains unchanged. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering God, Thou who art right, Thou who art just, Thou who art holy in all Thy ways, Thou who doest, and no man can say unto Thee, "What doest Thou?" For Thou art sovereign, and Thou doest what is of Thine own good pleasure. Then Thou knowest also all that has taken place in the week that now lies behind us, where one of the members of our own congregation, a dear husband, a father, grandfather, and brother, have been taken out of the midst of that family and out of the midst of us as a congregation. And Lord, Thou knowest those that mourn. Oh, we have laid him before Thee so many times, and now Thou dost cut it off. Then there is no more supplication for him. Lord, there is a family that remains behind, and Thou knowest how that flesh cannot miss flesh. Oh, may Thou be near to them, that thou may comfort them as thou alone art able. And may thou give in the midst of that family and in the midst of us as a congregation a holy urgency for the need of our own soul, that the callings that come to us day by day, that they may also be sanctified, that they may be blessed to our souls, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, and also when we are young, then there lieth her in the hospital in this day who is yet young, and thou knowest all her condition also. Lord, may thou be on her right and on her left this day, to give strength and health in her weak and mortal body, that she may be raised up again to return home to her dear ones, and that she may be enabled to eat and drink as aforetime. O Lord, may thou also bless this calling, because our hearts are so hard by nature. Oh, that thou may bless it unto her, to her family. May thou bless it also in the midst of our own children and young people. Oh, that this calling may not go by unheeded, but that in all of our weaknesses and frailties, that message that comes to us and that says, and that there is but one step between us and death, may be brought home to our hearts in a day of grace and in a time of salvation. Lord, look on all those that are afflicted. We think also of a brother to some in our midst, who also yet lays in the hospital far away. May thou strengthen, may thou heal, may thou give him again the strength in his limbs and his body. And may thou also sanctify this calling. Lord, wilt thou look on all those that are sick, also those of whom we do not know. Wilt thou supply in the needs of their bodies. Look on those that mourn, all widows, widowers, and orphans, but then especially her that had has now to miss her dear husband. Lord, be thou on the right and on the left, also of those children, especially in this week to come. But wilt thou also look upon them and us in this thy holy day, because thou knowest that it has been a week of preparation for thy holy supper. And Lord, thou knowest all the circumstances of our lives and all thy ways of providence. They are not hidden from thee, but it all lies in thy eternal counsel. May thou supply in this morning hour. Lord, when thy holy supper is to be administered in the midst of us as a congregation, oh, we ask of thee, Lord, help from above. May thou strengthen us as thy servant to go forward with this work. Oh, that thou would make it a joy, that thou would make it a liberty in this morning, a great privilege to stand in this place. May thou open thy word unto us, that we may be enabled to bring forth that which is new and that which is old, that thou would give food unto thy true church. Lord, thou knowest who they are. They often have so many questions and so many riddles and do not know who that they are themselves. But Lord, may thou open their eyes then in this morning hour. Oh, that thou may give freedom and liberty unto the poor, that they might have hope,
that thou would strengthen those that are lame, those that are sick, those that have no strength from their own side, those that have no ability to exercise that which thou hast placed in their soul. Lord, those that cannot believe because that wonder that is so great, oh, may thou look on them and give us yet to speak to their case, that they may be brought to our truly thine own, and that thou may give opening to those that have no opening. Lord, when there are those in our midst that have long waited for thee, and yet when there is still no light in all their darkness, oh, may thou open to them then in this morning hour who and what thou art in thine only and dearly beloved Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, may thou show something of thyself. May thou reveal thyself from above, that there may be food in thine house, and that the meek might eat and be well satisfied. Oh, do look on us. If we have to come in this morning to thy house with an intention that is not upright, Lord, we are by nature those that have hearts that are so deceitful above all things and that are desperately wicked. Oh, then we need to be kept by thee. Oh, that thou would keep us away if it is not thy work. May thou give then that we may receive wisdom in taking forth the precious from the vile, that together we may receive honesty in the sight of an all-knowing, holy, and a righteous God. May thou give clarity in the ways that thou hast dealt with thy people, that there may be fruit upon thy word and thy table. Wilt thou look upon all those who are not able to attend this holy supper? Lord, oh, that thou would look on them this morning hour. Oh, when we have to be placed on the outside, oh, that thou would bind that matter in all seriousness upon our souls. Oh, that in this morning that thou would work a great miracle, and that is the raising of those that are dead, even as we read out of thy holy word. Oh, they did laugh thee to scorn, Lord. They did laugh thee to scorn. They said it was not possible. But, Lord, it is possible. With men, it is impossible. But with thee, nothing is impossible. And thou art in this morning able to do it, even as thou didst it in that day. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, then send thy word as a sharp, two-edged sword to pierce a heart in this morning hour, and to break one that is hardened in the ways of sin, and to show the beauty of thy service and of thy mediatorial work, that which thou hast done for the chiefest of sinners. Lord, wilt thou look on us all together in mercy? Be with us. Forgive all that is sinful. Draw our hearts to thyself. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 73, stanzas 2 through 5. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. And thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, in thy face, Lord, will I seek. Stanzas 2 through 5 of Psalter number 73, and we announce that the funeral services for Mr. Case Alleman are scheduled for Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. in the Lethbridge Church. Condolences for the family are Tuesday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Martin Brothers Riverview Funeral Chapel in Lethbridge. Psalter number 73, stanzas 2 through 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Mark 5, and thereof the last phrase of verse 30. Mark 5, verse 30, the last part, these words, "Who touched my clothes?" So far, the words of our text. A discovering question of Christ. First, the substance of this question. Second, the purpose of this question. And third, the fruit of this question. A discovering question of Christ. First, the substance. As second, the purpose. And third, the fruit of this question. Who touched my clothes? The disciples' congregation did not understand. They thought it was foolishness. They were wrong again, because they were so carnal in their thoughts, in their expectations. The Lord Jesus knew what he asked. He knew why he asked it. He had become a man like unto us, but he did not become carnal as we are carnal. What did he ask about? He asked about the power of religion, not about something that was just form, but he was asking about something that was experienced. He was asking about something that was felt, that was known. Who touched my clothes? Not who touched them out of indifference. Not who touched them because they wanted to be able to see the miracles to come so close. Not who touched them because they wanted to eat of the loaves. But he says there is virtue. Virtue that is gone out of me. He said there was a different kind of touching. There was a touching out of a great need. There was a touching by faith. There was a touching that had an effect, that did something. The Lord Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. Also what is in our thoughts. Also that maybe those small, very small acts of faith that a true church would like to keep hidden. He is the planter of them. He is the mover of that faith. He has given the need. He has drawn that people unto himself. Who touched my clothes? And indeed there is one. She is there hidden in the crowd. She is there shrinking from the view of everyone. She has a long history. 12 years. an issue of blood. Her blood running from her. Thus, it was a matter of her life. She is a condemned woman. And death has pursued her for these 12 years. For her, there is no cure. Did she not try? Skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. Yes, she has gone to many, many physicians. And there is only one result. We read that it rather grew worse. And now she has spent everything. She is at her end. She has nothing more that she is able to try. She has no other avenues. She is, in that sense, without hope. Man has been for her a miserable comforter. Oh, what has death, has sin wrought? This woman experienced it. That sin has brought death into this world. The cure of her disease that is so completely outside of the power of man. May we also ever experience that same with this woman. Oh, that power of sin that is so very great. Paul, he cried out. Because of that power of sin in his life. That with all his might and with all his effort, that he was not able to conquer sin. Who touched my clothes? Why does the Lord Jesus ask that question? He says, virtue is gone out of me. Virtue, that is something of his goodness, that is something of his power, and that virtue that is going out of that Son of God, he feels it, he knows it, and yet that power that is not at all diminished, that is that he is as the sun in its strength to give light every day and still, and that there is nothing taken away from that sun. What a great power. What a great strength in order to overcome sin and death. Virtue, he says. Virtue is gone out of me. But not only has virtue gone out of him, that virtue that has gone in. That virtue has found a place. That virtue has entered into someone else. Oh, that virtue has been experienced. That virtue has been felt, that virtue has been made known. Oh, that is the experience here of a living soul in whom the power of sin, the great power of sin that is felt, that soul is not able to overcome that power of sin. That is brought to its end, that has no might against that great company that is coming against him. And now that strength of that power, of that virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is here experienced over and above that strength of sin. So that woman, In that moment, she may feel, she may know that where sin abounded, their grace that did much more abound. Oh, that is the strength of healing in that woman. That is not just something fanciful. That is not just something that she knows of in her mind, in her imagination. No, that woman has felt it. She has experienced it. And straightway we read, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Thus, she is not a stranger of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life to heal her. She knew it. She felt it. She experienced it. And he knew it. He and she. And that was all. That she is not cured without the knowledge of his will. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She received life again from the dead. Who congregation is able to express what that woman may experience in that one moment? When she may be given by the Lord to break through all of the difficulties, all of the attacks of that prince of darkness, when she may be given by a true saving faith to stoop so low that she may touch but that hem of his garment. Oh, then she may experience in that moment the deliverance of the Lord. As we read that he raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy from the dunghill. And he sets them among princes. As David, he spoke of an horrible pit and of a miry clay. And he says that the Lord, he has set me on a rock. In one moment, this is now what that woman does experience. And when she may touch that hem of his garment once, and when she may feel in her body that she is made whole of this plague. Are there a people, congregation, that are not strangers, that are not complete strangers to what this woman may experience? That you may listen along a little in this morning. That you may walk along with this woman. And now the Lord Jesus says, who touched my clothes? Why? He has a purpose. That is our second thought. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Thus the disciples, they answer the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we hear how that this woman, as she is not immediately answering the Lord Jesus. Who touched my clothes? And why did she not answer him immediately? Because she was afraid. She thought that she was going to be rebuked. The law congregation was against this woman. The law of God rendered this woman unclean. And she was not permitted to be among that multitude. Everything that she touched would be by virtue of that touching also unclean. And now what had she done? Oh, she had dared. She had broken through. She had come in that multitude, and not only come in that multitude, but she had dared to touch that garment of that holy Jesus. And now she fears that she is going to be rebuked. She has been presumptuous. She has not done this after a lawful manner. Oh, she is so worthy because of what she has done that the Lord would rebuke her and cut her off and cast her away forever. And yet she could not have helped it. No, could she have done otherwise? Oh, was it not out of a great need? Was it not out of a need that so pressed her sore? And when she was without hope and without expectation from herself and from all men, oh, was it not because she had to go in, else she would perish forever? Oh, they are fears that grip her soul. That woman, she would like to just slip away. And she thought she would touch, and he would not mind if he would never see her. And then she can go in her place, and she can receive that benefit of the Lord, and there she can enjoy that benefit of the Lord. But now what? He calls her. Oh, she didn't want to stand before him. She could not stand before him because of her guilt. And she did not want to be made known in the midst of that multitude either. Because that multitude would say, "Oh, woman, what have you done? You are a sinful, you are a wicked, you are a polluted woman. Who touched my clothes?" Oh, that is his voice. He is calling. And why is he calling? Because he will not leave that woman alone. And why will he not let her alone? Why will he not just let her slip away and go to enjoy her benefit? Because it is his honor. Because, woman, it is not your own work. No, woman, but it is my work that must come into the foreground. And it is my work that now must come to light. Oh, where does that work of grace take place? It takes place in secret. Oh, you may be in public congregation in the house of God when you receive that benefit, but it takes place here in the heart. And then a desire to do what? Oh, not as some that will try to make it known. But oh, if they could only now go to their inner chamber.
and there to take the blessing of the Lord. Oh, they will acknowledge him for it there. But the Lord says, no. He says, this is my work. And there has been a miracle that has taken place here, and virtue that has gone out of me. And all men, they are going to know. It is going to be to my honor and to my glory. But congregation, why? Why does the Lord not let that woman just slip away from him? Oh, that is not only for his own honor, but it is also for a benefit, for a blessing, because of a need that he knows in the heart, in the life of that woman. Oh, no, he does not want to rebuke her. No, he does not want to chastise her. But he wants to speak to her. He wants to commune with her. Why? Because he knows that when that woman will now go away, then she will have a life that is so plagued with questions that she has not received it rightly, that she has done it against the law, that she has received a blessing for her body, but she is forever cursed by God. That it was a blessing that came out of the left hand and not a blessing that came out of his right hand. Oh, the Lord knows what will happen and also what is now lying in the heart of that woman. And therefore, he wants to confirm his own work. Oh, he wants to say to that woman, oh woman, that it is from me. He wants to give that woman a further blessing, a greater blessing, because to him that hath shall be given great measure and in an overflowing abundance. Oh, why does the Lord Jesus not let that woman just slip away as her own heart desires? Oh, not only because of his own honor, not only because not only for her own benefit, but congregation, there is a man that is standing by here. That man, Jairus. Oh, he also has a need. Oh, that man could talk to that woman. And they could tell one another of the need of their hearts. Were they different? Oh, they were different. And yet they were the same. And now this man is still waiting. Oh, he is not yet delivered. And as the Lord Jesus, oh, he knows what is coming also in the life of this man before that he may experience that deliverance. Because soon that message is going to come to him. Oh, trouble not that master any further. Thy daughter is dead. And now the Lord Jesus, he says to this woman, come here. Come here. You tell now something
of the power of the Lord in your life. For the sake of this man, who does not yet know that deliverance, and who is still waiting, tell this man how polluted, tell this man how impossible, tell this man how wretched, tell this man what you have received. In one moment, who touched my clothes? No, woman, you may not go away, but you must come forward. For the sake of my honor, for your own sake, and for the sake of my church, who touched my clothes? Who has felt something of the power of that virtue that has now gone out of me? And yet she fears to come. She is afraid. And what do we read? And he looked around, about to see her that had done this thing. He calls her congregation. She does not come. And so she turns around. He turns around to look at her. And he looks directly at her. Directly at her. So that she cannot escape his eye. And he says to her in that moment, woman, I know you. He says, you are the one that has touched my clothes. He explains, congregation, her case. What she had experienced in her life. Who touched my clothes? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And when he says what her case is, then it is too much for her. And he becomes too strong for her. And his power that surmounts all of the accusations that come against her. We see it in our third thought, the fruit of this question. What is that? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Fearing and trembling, when she had reason to rejoice, others rejoice when they have reason to fear and to tremble. Her expectation is, in that moment, not grace, not mercy, but she comes. She comes expecting his judgment. And that is making her to tremble. When is she trembling? She is trembling even after that she has received, after that she has felt in her body that she was whole of the plague. Thus she received the blessing of the Lord. She knew something of that deliverance. And she is still trembling. Why? because she thought, now I have to stand before my judge. And even with that blessing, then it was not enough for her to be able to stand before her judge. Has that woman rejoiced in her life? Oh, she knew what it was to rejoice. She knew what it was for her heart to sing. Now, when he is asking, then she is fearing and trembling. Oh, then she cannot exercise that same faith. And yet, what also can she not do? She cannot deny it. She cannot deny what the Lord has done in her life. Though she fears it was not legal, though she fears that she has taken it in the wrong way, though she fears that the Lord is not pleased with her, but that it took place, that it happened, if she would say it did not happen, congregation, then she would be a liar. No, she knew of that virtue, she knew of that power. That is a virtue that the world does not know of. She felt, she experienced that power. That is that same power that has made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. And she rejoiced in her life about that power after 12 years of suffering. This she may not deny. Though she has so many fears. And therefore we read, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She came. When he called, when he looked upon her, and when he explained her case, then she came. Then she could not stay away one moment longer. She had to come. It was from the Lord. Oh, what a better place. Can that woman come, fearing and trembling? What a better place to fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Oh, there she may worship him. Oh, and we read, there she may tell him all the truth. All the truth. She may tell him why she touched him. It was a confession. It was a confession of her filthiness. It was a confession of how polluted that she was. Or it was a confession of her great need. It was also a confession of something else. It was a confession of a great power. A great power that that woman has experienced in that moment. Oh, what kind of a confession is it? It is a confession, congregation, of grace. Of grace. It is a confession of free and sovereign mercy of the Lord to an undeserving, a polluted, a filthy creature. In my affliction, she says, this I found. that human help deceived, but ever faithful is the Lord, in whom my soul believed. That was the confession of her heart, an eternal wonder from the Lord for that woman, not to her honor, no, but to the honor of the Lord. At that time and also at this time, in congregation, the Lord is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though we live in dark times, yet he has a people. And that Spirit of the Lord, although we deserve that it would go off now the threshold, that Spirit of the Lord, that we may hope and believe that it has not yet completely departed. May the Lord make us honest before him in the midst of his church. He sees, he knows everything. Oh, may there be a people and that must honestly confess before God and men in this morning hour what they may have experienced the Lord to be, to the chiefest of the sinners. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and hath firmly resolved henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh, yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, and that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, and that he was innocently condemned to death, and that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. And this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes. And this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, and that we, by the same, which dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, And out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, and be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake. Our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, and that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulation, and with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, we ask the congregation to sing Psalter 313, stanzas 1 through 5. What shall I render to the Lord? And what shall my offering be? For all his gracious benefits he has bestowed on me. 1 through 5 of Psalter 313. Beloved congregation, a week of preparation now lies behind us. And before us is set the holy table of the Lord. How many questions can be in your hearts? But there is but one question that the Lord Jesus does ask, a discovering question in this morning hour. And that question is, who touched my clothes? That is, who has known in their life as something of a great need, the need of your soul. And with all the help of men, so vain that none could help in all your need, and in such a need that the Lord, in all your impossibility, has given a moment that you may break through, that the Lord has given a moment, and that you may come through all the trials and tribulations, and that for one moment you may yet bow, and you may yet stoop so low, and you may but touch that hem of his garment, and in that moment that you may experience something of that blessed power of that mediator. Oh, who touched my clothes? That is, who knows even the smallest bit of that power of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life? Who touched my clothes but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her? She knew it, and he knew it. And maybe there is no one else that knows it in your life. But if you know it, and if he knows it, then it is enough. And maybe that you desire that no one else this day would ever know it, and that you may just go to your place, that you would not have to come forward in the congregation of the Lord, and that you could go just by yourself to enjoy that benefit. But the Lord says no. And why not? It is not to your honor. Was it to your honor? Oh, who has done it in your life? Oh, who has drawn you? And by whom have you felt that great power? No, he says it is to his honor. And what a wonder that he wants still to say something unto you this day. Not to rebuke you, no, but to have a little communion, that he may yet speak to you, and that he may yet reveal himself to you further, that he may yet assure you in your soul. Congregation, there is yet place. Are there any more who are not able to deny? Oh, that woman, the Lord Jesus, he says, come here. Why? Oh, there is another. There is another who does not know that deliverance. Oh, does he still work in our days? Is the Lord still the same? Does he do it still in the last times? Oh, is there one? Yet I must say yes. And I will tell you now what the Lord has done for my soul. Then there is still place. Otherwise, this will be the last table. Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Christ was poured out for the free remission of all our sins. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, fearing and trembling, even after having experienced something of that power of Christ in her life, still so many fears, so many questions, still fearing to be cast away, still fearing to be rebuked. The Lord Jesus, knowing all that is lying in her heart, when she is fearing and trembling and really over what? She fears and she trembles over the most holy duties, that she has sinned in those things what is now more holy than in that approach, what is now more spiritual than a coming unto Christ and a touching of the garment of Christ. But in that most
holy work, she feels so polluted. Thus she is not only from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores in all the things of this life, but even with the things that have to do with the Lord, then she feels something of that fact that she is not able to stand yet before her judge, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Oh, then you may say that, Lord, it is all open and naked before thee, everything that lies in my heart, all that I have done, but also that great need, and also, Lord, thy own power, and what I have been given by thee, that is also known to thee. And in such a way, she expects to be cast away. In that moment, she expects that he will rebuke her, that he will say, "Woman, you have touched me, you have defiled me, you have wrought iniquity. Woman, you are cursed forever." And with such an expectation, then he speaks to her. He said, we read, unto her, "Thus it is not we, but the Lord himself is giving those symbols, those signs, and a seal in that bread and in that wine, that the Lord is instituting that holy sacrament for the purpose of strengthening those who may not deny in their life that the Lord has shown them something of his own power to his own honor and to his own glory. Thus the Lord instituting that holy supper. Why? That he may bring his church again and that he may say to his church, what? Daughter. Daughter. Expecting for him to say, cursed. And then she hears from him, daughter. Oh, she was a daughter of Abraham, yes. But the Lord says, you are my daughter. That is a new relation that the Lord has given between her and God. That is, she is his daughter. That is, he is her father. And so everyone who may by faith have that testimony in their own heart that they are indeed the children of God. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, that woman knew so well and that there was nothing in her faith. She knew so well that it was not her action, that it was not her doing, but that virtue that lay in Jesus Christ himself, and that she may receive it out of his free hand. And yet, he honors that which honored him. Oh, it was so to his honor, when she may come even behind him in that press, And only to touch. Oh, then she so believed that the power was in him and that he only could cure her. And that faith that was so hidden for all the world and that which as she that lay only in her heart, then that faith the Lord will speak to all the nations of the world. And he will tell them even to this day that that was to his honor and glory. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh, how much turmoil would have been in the heart of that woman had he not turned her again, had he not brought her to him again, had he not turned around and spoken to her and made her come forward before everyone, and that he may say something to her, then how much turmoil when she had gone away?
Oh, then maybe she had lived with it her whole life long.
But he says unto her, go in peace.
Oh, that peace that God has made in his only begotten Son.
Hear this bread, hear this wine, what he has given, and that he may testify to his church of that peace that he has made between God and our soul for that never, never ending eternity. And he said, not we say, but he has said it, because he has given it unto us. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, that woman, she would never receive that plague again. It was not a temporary cure, but it was testified now by the Lord Jesus himself. And that cure that is forever, behold, he confirms it. He ratifies it. He says, amen, that is my work, and all thy sin that has caused that disease, that is removed as far as the east is from the west, so that there will be no condemnation unto my church. And he said unto her, daughter, go, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, may the Lord give that also we in this day may be comforted by his own words to that woman. That was not her work. It was his work from the very beginning. He gave her that disease. He drew her to himself. He brought her forth to touch. He turned her around. Oh, he brought her again to his footstool, that she had to confess everything. And he confirmed it in his life. And so it is the experience that he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. That he who hath begun that good work in you, he shall accomplish it until that day of Jesus Christ. Let us sing. Afterwards, we ask you to return to your seat. Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. 304. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 304.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified in his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 319. Stanzas 1, 3, and 5, give thanks and praise to God above. For everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior, praise. Forever good in all his ways. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 319. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.